This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
على آله وصحبه أجمعين وبعد. اسم الله الخالق. اسم الله الخالق. The creator. The category, and we're coming towards the end of the month, obviously, so we're coming closer to the end of these categories. We covered the attributes of accountability over the last two mornings, talking about اسم الله الرقيب and اسم الله العليم. And attributes of creation is what we're going to be talking about today. And we're going to cover three names within one session, inshallah ta'ala. Ism Allah al-Khaliq, and with it, we'll talk about Ism Allah al-Bari', Ism Allah al-Musawwir. Ism Allah al-Khaliq is in the Quran at least 8 times, if not more. It comes in the form of Khaliq, it also comes in the form of Ahsan al-Khaliqeen, it's also in the form of Al-Khalaq. Ism Allah al-Bari' comes in the Quran, maybe if you say 3 times, in the story of Musa, فَتُوبُوا إِلَىٰ بَارِئِكُمْ فَقْتُلُوا أَنفُسَكُمْ ذَٰلِكُمْ خَيْرٌ لَكُمْ عِنْدَ بَارِئِكُمْ. And then, هُوَ اللَّهُ الْخَالِقُ الْبَارِئُ الْمُصَوِّرُ. Then المصور, the verb itself, فَصَوَّرَكُمْ, comes in the Quran a number of times. The actual name is only once in that verse in Surah Al-Hashr. And the three names are very much connected. Ismullah al-Khaliq being the name that everything kind of falls under, for sure. And al-Khaliq is the one who creates, in the sense that the one that brings somethingness from nothingness. And there's nothing. There's no matter. It's not that there's space. No, there's nothing. There's no space. Which is not something that we have the ability to imagine. Whenever you think of anything, there has to be space. We don't comprehend. Our brains don't have the ability to imagine anything, any situation, any time without space, just like we don't have the ability to imagine anything without time in it. Al-Khaliq is the one who brought something from nothing. That is the main meaning of the word. It does have other meanings as well. To create something, meaning to transform it from one state to something very different, right? Over time. That's the meaning of the word al-khalq as well. It's also the usage of the Arabic language, and you find that in the Quran. Now this name, unlike maybe the rest of the names that we've talked about, is not a name that people usually associate with any degree of spirituality or any degree of closeness, even though I think, Allahu A'lam, that's a mistake. Meaning when I talk about it, Ismi Allah al-Hadi, for example, you have a certain spiritual connection with that, the same way, and you talk about Ismi Allah al-Raqib, and so on and so forth. A lot of these names have a spiritual connection for us. But the Ismi Allah al-Khaliq seems more mechanical, when it really isn't. It's actually extremely spiritual, because it talks about how this whole story began, like where it all came from, what that means. And there's really no connection, in my opinion, that's more powerful than the connection between a creator and a creation. It trumps the connection between a father and a son, or a mother and her daughter or her son. Even though the most intimate connection that will probably exist or has ever existed or will ever exist is the connection between a human being and their offspring. Because speaking biologically, it's the closest thing that we have to creation. It's the closest thing that we have to actual creation. Even though we don't really create them, and it's only half of you in them, they don't carry all of your DNA, they only carry half of it. The other half is from the other dude, the other person. But when we talk about creation, al-khalq, no. You are exclusively from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Come from Allah. There's no one had anything else to do with this aside from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And He literally created you. He did not patch you up from different substances that others made. No. The whole thing was from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Which in my opinion is much more, it's not just my opinion, this is the reality of the matter. The connection there is much more intimate. It's much more meaningful. So this name of Bismillah al-Khaliq is actually very spiritual. And it's worthy of contemplation. The difference between them, Ismullah al-Khaliq is the one who brings, and this is important because I'm going to talk about it at the end. Ismullah al-Khaliq is the one who brings something from nothing. There's nothing, now you have something. Al-Bari, the one who grants life. There is something, but it's dead. There's no life in it. Al-Bari, another, you can say Al-Bari as well. Most of the time, it's Abd al-Bari, it's not Abd al-Bari with a Hamza. And you can change from Hamza to Ya here, and that's even the Qira'at as well. Al-Bari, the one who grants life to something that has no life. Al-Musawwir, the one that grants purpose. Al-Surah is not just a picture. Al-Surah means that now there's a goal that it's there to do. There's a function for it. It has a function. It's alive, but it also has function, has purpose. It knows where it's going or what to do. It has an idea of what it should do next. And that's what Sawwarakum. When he gave you a form, but that form exists so that there's a function, so that there's a purpose. That's why there's a form, or else there would be no point of having a form. Like for you to look a certain way, that we look like this so that we can perform certain functions, so we are better equipped to do certain things. We're better equipped the way we are created to get certain things done. That means there is a purpose for it. So that's what Taswir means. And those are the three names, and they kind of come together. Al-Khaliq being kind of the umbrella name that encompasses the rest of them. He says, subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allahu khaliqu kulli shay. Allahu khaliqu kulli shay. Allah is the one who created everything. Everything. Everything that we are aware of, everything that we know, is Allah's creation. Everything. Everything that we ever will know is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's creation. There is nothing that you and I will ever come in contact with in this world, now or in the future, except it's Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's creation. He created, He made it. From nothingness, He brought it forward to the light of existence. Khaliqu kulli shay subhanahu wa ta'ala, aside Himself, Jalla Jalaluhu. Says subhanahu wa ta'ala, Ala lahu al-khalqu wal-amr. Indeed, to Him belongs al-khalq and al-amr. And these two things are what Al-Khalq is Kitabullahi al-Manshur. Creation is the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that is open and spread in front of you, which is the universe and everything in it, everything that the universe contains. That's Kitabullahi al-Manshur. Al-Amr, Kitabullahi al-Mastur, is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's book that is written, meaning the wahi, meaning the actual teachings. Al-Khalq wal-Amr. He owns both subhanahu wa ta'ala, and they never contradict each other because they come from the same source. Kitabullahi al-Manshur, Al-Khalq, and Kitabullahi al-Mastur, al-Amr, all come from the same source. So whatever is written in the book will be compatible with whatever you're going to see in front of you within the universe. He says subhanahu wa ta'ala, in this long ayah in Surah Al-Mu'minun, as he speaks about the embryo, ثُمَّ خَلَقْنَا النُّطْفَةَ عَلَقَةً فَخَلَقْنَا الْعَلَقَةَ مُضْغَةً فَخَلَقْنَا الْمُضْغَةَ عِظَامًا فَكَسَوْنَا الْعِظَامَ لَحْمًا. Created the nutfa, the fertilized egg with the sperm, turned it into a alaqa, into a small piece of meat that's clinging on to the wall of the uterus, and then it turned into a bigger piece of meat that looks like it's chewed, it's a bit of a curvature, and then and then we added to it bones, and then we added to the bones meat. That's the way that the ayah talks about. ثُمَّ أَنْشَأْنَاهُ. And then we turned it into a different خَلْق. ثُمَّ أَنْشَأْنَاهُ خَلْقًا آخر. Then we turned it into a different creation. So this is where the word خَلْق doesn't always mean from nothingness to somethingness, but it means a transformation. Something that is a transformation that changes the essence of what the first thing was into something completely different. فَتَبَارَكَ اللَّهُ أَحْسَنُ الْخَالِقِينَ. May the barakah of your Lord increase, the one who is the best of all creators, subhanahu wa ta'ala. Says subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah Al-Baqarah, Ya ayyuhal nas, U'budu rabbakum alladhi khalaqakum walladhina min qablikum la'allakum tattaqoon. O people, worship your Lord, the one who created you, and all those who came before you, so that you may find some degree of taqwa. He says subhanahu wa ta'ala, Awalaysa alladhi khalaqa as-samawati wal-arda بقادر على أن يخلق مثلهم بلى وهو الخلاق العليم. Is not the one who created the cosmos and the earth capable of bringing them back and creating them again. Just creating them again. Forget about anything else. Just bringing them back through creation yet again as he created them the first time. The answer is bala, of course he is. وَهُوَ and he is al-khalaq, the one who creates a lot. Al-khaliq, the creator. Al-khalaq, the one who continuously creates. Meaning Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, not only did he create us and all that which we observe, but he's also created things that we have yet to come into contact with, and things that he is creating subhanahu wa ta'ala as we speak. هو الخلاق العليم, he is the omniscient. Only him, only he subhanahu wa ta'ala knows what he created. Jalla jalaluhu. Imam Bukhari narrates to us that Imran al-Husayn said, Imran al-Husayn, the famous sahaba, qala, جَاءَ أَهْلُ الْيَمَنِ إِلَىٰ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَآلِهِ وَصَحْبِهِ وَسَلَّمْ. The people of Yemen came to the Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام, فَقَالُوا جِئْنَا لِنَتَفَقَّهَ فِي الدِّينِ وَلِنَسْأَلَكَ عَنْ أَوَّلِ هَذَا الْأَمْرِ. We came to you so that we may learn our deen. We ask you about, how did this all begin? How did this whole matter, you know, start? فَقَالَ عَلَيْهِ الصَّلَاةُ وَالسَّلَامُ. And there's different narrations to this hadith, and I'll narrate the one that I choose. قَلْ كَانَ اللَّهُ وَلَمْ يَكُنْ شَيْءٌ غَيْرُهُ. There was Allah, and there was nothing else aside from him. And an additional narration, it's continued. فَقَالَ وَكَانَ عَرْشُهُ عَلَى الْمَاءِ. And his throne, subhanahu wa ta'ala, was upon water. Or at least that's what we think ma is. That's what we think it is here in this narration. You see, whenever you take the derivative of an alif and hamza at the end of something, it means the epitome of something, or the pinnacle of any matter. That's why if something is high, we say sama. It went up or elevated. If you want to talk about the pinnacle of something that is high, you say sama. Cosmos, because it's the highest thing we know. To live is haya. The pinnacle of that, or the epitome of that, is al-haya, which is why that ethic is so important. So ma here could also mean that. And this is a nice any conclusion or opinion one of my teachers had. Because ma is something, and ma is the epitome of something. Meaning his opinion was it wasn't on water. Rather, it was on matter. The beginning of, because he created the first thing he created was matter. And that's his throne, meaning his control, was over the concept of matter, because there wasn't matter before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَثُمَّ كَتَبَ بِالذِّكْرِ كُلَّ شَيْءٍ. And they wrote in dhikr, meaning wrote in his records, subhanahu wa ta'ala, everything. Subhanahu wa ta'ala. ثُمَّ خَلَقَ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ. And then he created the cosmos and the earth. Another narration, كَانَ اللَّهُ وَحْدَهُ. It was Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and there's absolutely no one else but Allah. If we talk about the sequence of his creation, subhanahu wa ta'ala, taking it from the sources of the Qur'an and the Sunnah, we know for sure, that the human being was not the first thing that he created. He says, هَلْ أَتَى عَلَى الْإِنسَانِ حِينٌ مِّنَ الدَّهْرِ لَمْ يَكُنْ شَيْئًا مَذْكُورًا. Was there a time where that came across where the human being was not something that could be mentioned? Why not something that could be mentioned? You can't mention something that does not have precedence of its existence. Like you and I can't talk about something that has yet to exist, because we have no way to articulate a description for it, because we have not seen it or heard about it. It's not a concept yet. Once it presents itself, then we can look at it. If it's edible, we will taste it. If it's transportation, we will ride it. If it's something we can communicate with, we'll chat with. We'll figure out some way to interact with it, and then we'll describe what we found. We'll give it a name, and we'll describe what it is. Before that, you can't describe anything. So the human being, there was a time, لَمْ يَكُنْ شَيْئًا مَذْكُورًا, was not something that could be mentioned, because we didn't exist. There was no promise of us yet. Our existence was not clear to anything that was alive at that point. He says, subhanahu wa ta'ala, this is what Jubair ibn, the hadith is in the collection of also Imam Muslim, where Jubair, Muhammad ibn Jubair ibn Mut'im, says that his father, Jubair ibn Mut'im, قال صليت خلف رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وصحبه وسلم صلاة الفجر وصلاة الفجر فقرأ من سورة الطور and he recited from سورة الطور فقال أم خلقوا من غير شيء أم هم الخالقون قال فكاد قلبي أن يطير. So I was listening the first time I was hearing him recite Surah Al-Tur. So I heard him recite, or is it a lot of the verses in Surah Al-Tur, the second page at least? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is questioning, why is it that Quraysh doesn't want to believe? Is it this? Is it this? Is it this? So amongst the first thing is called أَمْ خُلِقُوا, or is it that they were created مِنْ غَيْرِ شَيْءٍ. غَيْرِ شَيْءٍ means nothing. In slang or in يعني, modern language, we say لا شيء. شيء, something. And لا شيء is nothing. لا شيء is not something that, it's not a fasih phrase. I mean, the Arab would never say that. They would say غَيْرِ شَيْءٍ. They would say غَيْرِ شَيْءٍ. لَا شَيْءٍ does not work really. Not to explain nothingness, at least. That's not the right way to say it. We say it all the time, but it's not fasih, it's not appropriate. So أَمْ خُلِقُوا مِنْ غَيْرِ شَيْءٍ, or are they created from nothing? أَمْ هُمُ الْخَالِقُونَ, are they the ones who brought creation forward? And he says, my heart almost flew out of my chest. Other narrations, he almost fainted. Other narrations say that he was sick for a week. People came and visited him at home and they didn't know what was wrong with him and he was ashamed or embarrassed to tell them what happened. أَمْ خُلِقُوا مِنْ غَيْرِ شَيْءٍ أَمْ هُمُ الْخَالِقُونَ. What is it? You were created from nothing. You just happened to appear. That is the most likely explanation you find. You find that explanation makes sense to you, that you just appeared. Nothing. There was no force behind it. There was nothing. You just happened to be here. Or you're the one who did this. It's neither this nor أَمْ خَلَقُ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ, or did you create the cosmos and the earth and everything in it? بَلْ لَا يُوقِنُونَ. They just don't want to actually have certainty. They just don't want to have. They prefer to live in that ambiguity. The hadith that we have is that when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the first thing He created after He created matter, قَالَ فِي الْحَدِيثِ ثُمَّ خَلَقَ الْقَلَمْ فَجَرَى بِمَا هُوَ كَائِنٌ إِلَى يَوْمِ الْقِيَامَةِ. And this is in the Tirmidhi. And then He created the pen, and it began, and it wrote everything that would occur until the end of time. Because time is a creation as well. So once time was created, the documentation of what was going to happen within this new creation time was all written عند Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala إلى يوم القيامة, all of it. Everything that is in it. وَثُمَّ بَعْدَ ذَلِكَ خَلَقَ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ. And then He created subhanahu wa ta'ala the universe as it is with the planets that are in it. ثُمَّ خَلَقَ الْجِنِ. And then He created subhanahu wa ta'ala الجن. Jinn came quite a long time before us. They were created way before us. ثُمَّ يعني خَلَقَ الْجَنَّ مِنْ مَارِجٍ مِنْ نَارٍ, from a smokeless fire. And then He created the human being. وَبَدَأَ خَلْقَ الْإِنسَانِ مِنْ طِينٍ. If you go to the Qur'an, you find that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about the creation of the human being. He uses different phrases. He uses مِنْ تُرَاب, and He uses مِنْ مَاء, and He says مِنْ طِينٍ, and He says مِنْ طِينِ اللَّازِبِ, and He says مِنْ صَلْصَالٍ كَالْفَخَّارِ, and He says مِنْ صَلْصَالٍ مِنْ حَمَئٍ مَسْنُونٍ. He uses all these phrases to describe the human being. And all of these phrases are correct, and it's not contradicting one another. The reason He uses all of these wordings, subhanahu wa ta'ala, is because in the Qur'an they're symbolic. The Qur'an is very big on symbolizing things, especially when it comes to stories of creation. The Qur'an is not a book of anthropology, but it does tell you to go learn that knowledge. قُلْ سِيرُوا فِي الْأَرْضِ فَانْظُرُوا كَيْفَ بَدَأَ الْخَلْقَ. This is ayah in Surah Al-Ankabut, is recited last night. No one pays attention to these verses. They're looking for the ayat that are... This is one of the most spiritual verses that I know. He says, go, walk the earth. فَانْظُرُوا, and then look around and search. كَيْفَ بَدَأَ الْخَلْقَ. How He started creation. This is commonly to us something that is almost by decree unknown. Most Muslims believe that by decree this is not going to be ever known. There's no point in looking to it. He is commanding you to go walk this earth and search so you can figure out how He began creation. ثُمَّ اللَّهُ يُنْشِئُ النَّشْأَةَ الْآخِرَةَ إِنَّ اللَّهُ عَلَى كُلِّ شَيْءٍ قَدِيرٌ. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will bring people out of their graves on the day of judgment, and He is capable of all. But He's telling you, go and figure out how this started. I can actually figure out how you started. Yeah, you can figure out. Of course, you can find out how I did it, how it began. وهو الذي أنزل من السماء ماء فأخرجنا به نبات كل شيء فأخرجنا منه خضرا نخرج منه حبا متراكبا ومن النخل من طلعها قنوان دانية وجنات من أعناب والزيتون والرمان مشتبها وغير متشابه. And he is the one who descended water from the sky, and from it came the seed of everything. The seed of everything. والله أنبتكم من الأرض نباتا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala brought you from the earth plants. Not imbata. He didn't grow you from the earth. No, no. Nabata, as a plant. This is the words of the Quran, how the Quran describes creation. So when he uses all of these words to describe the human being, he is suggesting, the Quran is suggesting there was some tadarruj, meaning there was some graduality to his creation, subhanahu wa ta'ala, which is what we understand today. To understand of how he created things, jalla jalaluhu. When he says, khalaqtu al-insan, or khalaqtu al-jinn, or خلقت السماوات والأرض, when he says I created something, what does that mean to you? Does that translate for you immediately? That he said, be, I'm going to create something, so be. And it's going to be within a second. Why? Why does it have to be a second? Or less than a second? Or instantaneous? So let's say he created the human being, he said be, and then it took a month. You have a problem with a month? If he created the human being through a month? If he created the human being through a year, is that a problem for you? If he created the human being through a couple of years, 100 years, 1,000 years, 1,000,000 years, 1,000,000,000 years, 13.8 billion years, does it make a difference to you? Does it make a difference to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? He created. How long it took for creation to come forward, that's his business subhanahu wa ta'ala. The concept of the deity being a bearded man somewhere in the middle of the sky with a wand in his hand, zapping things into creation, giraffe, tree. That's a medieval understanding of God. It's not Islamic, never was. Muslims never understood Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to be that. Jalla jalalullah ta'ala wa taqaddasa subhanahu wa ta'ala. Muslims never saw God that way. And they never saw creation to happen that way. This is a mixture of what Catholicism came to, what the church came to conclusion of somewhere in the medieval times, taken from Greek and Indian mythologies and kind of this big mix of mythologies that don't really have any Islamically, no. He creates subhanahu wa ta'ala, and how he creates is what you're going to figure out, is what science is going to do for you. It's going to show you how it happened. Going to show you the method through all of that, through which creation went through until it came to be what it is today. And there's a beauty to that, and it's poetic, and it's extremely meaningful to know that we are being asked by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to study and to look and to learn and to find out more about our own creation and the creation of everything around us. Says subhanahu wa ta'ala, أَفَرَأَيْتُمْ مَا تُمْنُونَ أَأَنْتُمْ تَخْلُقُونَهُ أَمْ نَحْنُ الْخَالِقُونَ. Do you see that which you produce? Al-mani, which is sperm. He says, do you see that which you're produce? It comes out of you. This goes for both men and women. It's the concept of that which we put forward. The immature creation. It's not, it needs the other half to exist. أَأَنْتُمْ تَخْلُقُونَهُ. Are you the ones who create this? أَمْ نَحْنُ الْخَالِقُونَ. Or are we the ones who do this? Do you do this? Are you able to manufacture this? To manufacture these chromosomes? To get the 23 out there in the way that they are prepared to be paired with another 23 to make the 46. Do you do that? And then break them down into what the human being later on would be. أَفَرَأَيْتُمْ مَا تُمْنُونَ. وَهُوَ الَّذِي يَبَدَأُ الْخَلْقَ ثُمَّ يُعِيدُهُ وَهُوَ أَهْوَنُ عَلَيْهِ وَلَهُ الْمَثَلُ الْأَعْلَى فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ وَهُوَ الْعَزِيزُ الْحَكِيمُ. And he is the one who begins creation. And then he does it again. And the second time, وَهُوَ أَهْوَنُ, is easier than the first time. All of it is easy, but he's using our logic. When you refuse resurrection, he created you the first time around. Why would he not create you the second time around? Doing it the second time is always easier. It's the first time that's a little bit difficult, if we're going to talk about difficulty, even though all of it to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the same. أَمْ جَعَلُوا لِلَّهِ شُرَكَاءَ خَلَقُوا كَخَلْقِهِ فَتَشَابَهَ الْخَلْقُ عَلَيْهِمْ. Or is it that they made with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala associates who created creation similar to his creation? So now they're confused. Whether it's just God's creation or is it the... قُلِ اللَّهُ خَالِقُ كُلِّ شَيْءٍ وَهُوَ الْوَاحِدُ الْقَهَرُ. Say Allah is creator of everything and he is the one and he is the subduer subhanahu wa ta'ala. The verses that talk about creation in the Quran are actually, I can go on for quite some time. The final one that I'll share with you, this is what he says subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah Al-Qur'an. هَذَا خَلْقُ اللَّهِ فَأَرُونِي مَاذَا خَلَقَ الَّذِينَ مِن دُونِهِ. This is the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So show me, what did the others create? Show me what others made. Let me see, what did others create? بَلِ الظَّالِمُونَ فِي ضَلَالٍ مُبِينٍ. No, it's not the case. It's that those who are the oppressors of themselves and others are the ones in complete loss. Science will never be interested and is not interested. And it's not within the realm of science to study the concepts of these three names. Science is very much focused on the observable universe and all of the interactions that happen within it and all of the intricacies of the methodology of what's going on and how it's going on and figuring out, understanding what's actually occurring. That's what science is focused on. The three questions that these names give are not within the interest of science. We'll never really know them because no one's looking into them, because philosophy looks into them, not science. Al-Khalq, creation, taking for there to be nothing and then for there to be something. Science ends when the Big Bang began. When the first matter was there, and that's when science starts looking. Okay, we start with that first little ounce of matter. And then it exploded and it moved and then we're focused on that. Why? How much energy? Where did it come from? How did it work? But to look at what came before that, that's not something that is, it's not amongst the functionalities of science itself. It's never going to look into this because it's just not what it does. So that first question and that first dilemma that we have is, where did matter come from? If it didn't create itself, which it didn't, or else it would be speaking to us and telling us what to do. Matter itself is lifeless, and we are life-full. And if it created us and we're here, then we have to assume that whatever created us is also full of life, or else something dead cannot produce something lifeful, something liable that has life in it. It doesn't work that way. If we have life and I can see and I can hear, then whatever brought me here has the same ability, if not more, or else there's something logically that it does not all line up. So going from nothing to something is a question that will never be answered. That's Ismullah al-Khaliq. Let's put that aside. Let's say, there are arguments that the universe is infinite, which is insane, but it's fine. How do you go from something to life? How do you go from something, just matter, molecules and elements, hydrogen and nitrogen, oxygen and all these other elements. How do you go from that to something that is alive? To that first breath. For the first time oxygen was used and the first time energy was utilized and harnessed, and then how do you go from something that is lifeless to something that has life in it? We don't look into that either, by the way. Science just focuses on studying life and looking at the organism. And that first kind of unicell organism that exists somewhere in the volcanic waters of Mexico or Australia or whatever. That first organism that was able to utilize energy, it took a breath, it took in oxygen for the first time. Where did it, going from life, from no life to life? We just study life. We barely understand anything about it, wallahi. We barely understand anything about it. I work in oncology, I'm an oncologist. We study cancer. Cancer is very complicated. It's hard to, the idea of a cure for cancer is insane. That's not gonna happen. That just makes you people don't understand. Cancer are your own cells turning against you. How do we kill your own cells without killing you? They're you, they're your own cells. They just stop listening, just stop following the regimen of what to do. At a certain point, you have to die. These cells have to die. They just have to turn off and die. When they don't, decide, nope, we're not dying. We're going to live forever. And they start taking all of the resources. And they start duplicating and multiplying and killing everything around them. How do you make them stop doing that? You have to understand all the intricacies and all the details of the human cell. Yeah, we're far from that. We barely understand a couple of pathways. We barely understand a few receptors that exist on the surface of the cell and what it does on the inside. And if someone comes through with some breakthrough drug that affects a pathway you've never heard of before in a way and it has an effect, it's all trial and error. These poor mice on floors in hospitals that no one wants to go to, just being injected with stuff, and then we just sit there and see what happens. And if it works, if there's an interesting effect, we study it for a couple of years. If we find out something that's interesting, then we figure out what the receptor is, and then we try it on a human being. And the first couple of times on the human being, they're miserable. They're miserable human beings who have horrible side effects before we figure out the dosing and figure out. Because it's very hard to understand the idea. It's a kingdom. Like, if you look up, it's a kingdom that you can't even begin to absorb and understand. You can't even begin to understand what's out there. But if you look down, it's the same thing. And you go down and you take this one cell, it's a kingdom. Within it, there are all of these different devices that are working in complementing other devices, keeping the whole thing running. We barely understand any of it. How do you go from no life to life? Al-Bari. That's how. We go from no life to life with Al-Bari, subhanahu wa ta'ala. We don't know. No one's even looking into this. You've been around for a long time. You have a lot of tools and gadgets. We're not even looking into that. We don't care. We just want to understand how life works so that we can allow people to live better, so they have less disease, so they don't age as quickly, so they don't have as much pain and suffering. But we don't care. We're not trying to bring life forward. No. The manipulation of DNA and the manipulation of fetuses and embryos, that's not creating life. You already have the code. You're just playing around with it, which is obviously extremely dangerous when we don't even understand how the living organism works, for us to play around with its origin that we don't fully understand. And then here's a question for you to answer. Why does life want to continue to live? Why? Every living thing is alive now, but why does it want to live? To you, this makes, of course they want to live. That's not a question to ask. You know, entertain the idea. Why does life want to live? Why does life want more energy and want more nourishment? Why does it want to be stronger? Why does it want to be higher? Why does it want to survive longer? Why? It does. That is an absolute given within this world. That's how you and I function. But why? Who said, like, who told it that you have to, you're alive now, you must continue to live. You must continue to find more sources and more resources, more sources of energy and more resources. You should try to live longer. You should try to live better. You should fight for your life. You should try to fight against going back to the state of death. Who told it that, though? Al-Musawwir. It has purpose. It has purpose in it. It's alive, but you could imagine that it's just alive. But it doesn't care if it stays alive or if it doesn't stay alive. Correct? It could be like that. We're alive, but it doesn't matter to us. A lie, you take away our life, you give us better life. Who cares? Doesn't make a difference. But it does. You could be 95, you could be 105, you could be 125, you could be 1,000 years old. When death sets in, you don't want it. You fight. Even if in your mind, you're like, I accept. It's time to move on. It's over, and it's time to move on. But at that last moment, your biology fights against it, doesn't want to die. You'll hold on. That last one, you'll hold on to something because you don't want to die. Where did that programming come from? Where did the programming within that you want to live? Al-Musawwir. That's where. We don't care. Science doesn't care about that. Huwallahu al-Khaliqul Bari'ul Musawwir. The three aspects of existence that we'll never really fully understand where it comes from. We'll understand. We study everything in between. Everything in between. From somethingness to life, we'll study all that and learn all about matter. From life to purpose, we'll study that. The reason of purpose in psychology and psychology, we'll study all that, but we don't know where those beginnings, because those beginnings come from Al-Khaliq subhanahu wa ta'ala. To me, if that's not spiritual, then I don't know what is. How do you live with Ismullah subhanahu wa ta'ala Al-Khaliq? Number one, respect his creation. Show his creation respect. Acknowledge the beauty and acknowledge the profoundness of his creation, subhanahu wa ta'ala. You have to have that appreciation of what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made. You have to look at that and you have to take it in. The whole Quran tells you, just look, at the shams and the qamar and the nujum and the jibal and the shajar and the dawab and the anhar. He just tells you, look, just look, because this is what I made. Look, can you make this? No. Then look at it and acknowledge and appreciate. So have that respect for what he made, subhanahu wa ta'ala. Walk on earth hawna, with humbleness, because you're walking in his creation, subhanahu wa ta'ala. You yourself are a creation of Allah. Your body is, and your ruh comes from him, subhanahu wa ta'ala. You'll never understand the way, يَسْأَلُونَكَ عَنِ الرُّوحِ يَقُلُ الرُّوحُ مِنْ أَمْرِ رَبِّي. That's, we don't know what the ruh is. But it also comes from Allah, subhanahu wa ta'ala. And it's a part of him. It's from him, subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the second piece, be a caregiver for his creation. He puts you as a higher functioning being amongst his creation, so care for it. Be a steward, be a khalifa. Take care of that which is around you, because you have the capacity to do so. Other creations, they just work, they just exist. They just exist within the ecosystem they're put in, within the realm. You have the ability to beat that. If you have that ability, then you must take care. You must be responsible of the well-being of everything around you. And I think the concept of istikhlaf and khalifa comes from his name, Al-Khaliq, subhanahu wa ta'ala. He created, and he created you a little bit more capable. And he put everything at your service, so you must be a caregiver. Hope that was a benefit to you. Subhanak Allah, bihamdika, ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta, astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. Wa sallallahu wa sallam wa baraka ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. Jazakumullahu khair. Barakallahu fikum. Inshallah, Jum'ah today is at 3:15. See you.